What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Let's go.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department, a bona fide YouTube star
with over 3 million subscribers.
He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling moral decay and the news of the day. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm out right now, but you are in good hands with my man, Carl Jackson.
Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. Thank you, Officer Tatum, for allowing me to sit behind your microphone and trusting me behind your microphone. Welcome to all of you that are in the listening audience. The number to call into the program, 844-900-7243. Again, that number, 844-900-7243. And guys, listen, I want to hear from you. I think we have some great guests lined up. Dr. Sebastian Gorka is going to be joining us at the top of the 7 p.m. hour. Talk about a column that he wrote for Breitbart. It's something that I expressed yesterday when I was sitting in for the Salem News Channel, and we were covering the Trump assassination attempt. So I hope you enjoyed that coverage. For any of you that may have seen that, I had a great time doing that, even though it was under horrible circumstances. Let me say this. I'll get started shortly, but what the assassin intended for evil, God can turn to good. And frankly, I believe he's beginning to turn it to good. Not necessarily in the way that I think even a lot of conservatives think, but I'll say this, and this is going to be unconventional. When you consider, I watched a clip, an Instagram clip by Pastor Jack Hibbs. I would encourage you guys to go and watch that clip. I believe I shared it on my account. If not, I need to. But he talked about the blood of the priesthood back in the day in biblical times and stuff like that. And he talked about the blood, of Jesus Christ. Even he tied it into Trump's ear being shot and the blood that was running on the side of his face, on the right side of his face. And I thought about what Pastor Jack Hibbs was saying. And then I just had some quiet time where I'm always or often listening to something or reading something, or my mind just kind of, you know, it's almost like I have to stay busy. Pray for me. I need help sometimes. All right. But I forced myself to just sit in quiet. And I felt like God said to me, I just gave Trump and I just gave America a second chance. That blood signifies, if you will, I have to be careful here. That blood signifies just what the rainbow signified after Noah and the destruction, the flood. I believe God gave us a second chance. I believe he gave Trump a second chance. I do believe Trump loves God. I believe Trump believes in God. I'm not exactly sure how deep Trump's relationship is with God. And what I'm praying is that his relationship with God, and when I say God, I mean Jesus Christ, will get deeper, will grow deeper. And I pray that yours will too, after seeing what you saw over this weekend. I'm going to get into, obviously, the assassination attempt. I also want to talk about the victims. I want to talk about Melania Trump and a letter or post that she penned that I thought was absolutely beautiful, because I think that's very, very important for us to recount and for us to talk about, because we don't oftentimes think of, you know, we've become these people where everything is politics. What I hate is that so much of our culture, so much of our society has become about politics, and it shouldn't be that way. Politics, and I love politics, obviously. I mean, I absolutely love it, but it shouldn't be our life. It shouldn't be our number one thing. And what has happened over the last several years, especially I think with the advent of social media, that social media has allowed politics to creep into every facet of our life in places that frankly, it doesn't necessarily belong. And then so people think that they need this, need government in their life in so many facets, in so many different ways. And it's just not true. And it's interfering in relationships of all sorts. And we're unable to see each other as people. I mean, I remember growing up in a time where, hey, you know, this dude was a Republican. This dude was a Democrat. I don't agree with him. You know what I'm saying? But I don't want to kill him. You know, like we can go out, we can have fun, we can talk about things, you know, whatever, have a good time. But we're just going to agree to disagree. And then for some reason, that's just gone. It's gone by the wayside. So I think that Melania Trump, and by the way, I say this not because I'm a conservative, and I know some of you out there will believe that, or because I'm a Republican. I thought she was one of the most elegant, not just because she's obviously a gorgeous woman, right? And you know, the stuff that she would wear. She was just an elegant, classy first lady. And she never got that respect simply because she was the wife of Donald Trump. What we saw over the weekend is a young man who has been told for God knows how long, Trump is evil, Trump is a Nazi, Trump is Hitler, Trump is an existential threat to democracy. Oh, Carl, but he's a Republican. No. He's a registered Republican, which means he didn't necessarily vote Republican, right? We all know that he donated to the far left wing activist group Act Blue, right? So we know that wherever you give your money, that's essentially where your heart is, right? You don't let your money flow to things that you don't want, you don't desire. So money is a clear indication of where your heart lies. His heart lied with Act Blue, that far left-wing radical group that was responsible for distributing money to far left-wing groups. And it's I've heard, and again, this can't be confirmed, all right? But I've heard that it's likely that he may have even voted or registered Republican because he wanted to vote against Trump in the primary. You know, when he got the opportunity, anything to take the bad orange man down. So keep in mind that could be part of it as well. So very, very important to remember. This lady, Kim Cheadle, by the way, she absolutely has to go. I'll talk about that. Honestly, the more that I think about this, you guys, I'm not a conspiracy theory type person. I'm not. The things that we have witnessed over the last several years, starting back, I mean, since Trump came down the escalator, quite frankly, have been insane. Still, I refuse to buy into conspiracy theory. However, if evidence leads me somewhere, and I'll go there. And I do feel like there's a lot more questions that need to be had. I'm not going conspiracy theory with this assassination attempt over the weekend, but that was a massive failure. And the more that I think about it, and obviously I'm not the only one. Everybody and their mother has been saying that, and I've seen video. Zach, thank you. Share video with me, Sean, where literally you had people at this venue in Pennsylvania that were walking around for minutes. There he is. Hey, shooter on the, unbelievable. Just unreal. Unreal. It's insane to me. So we'll get into that. We'll dive into that. That's absolutely insane. By the way, and make sure that I thank everyone else. Sean McConnell is in my ear as I rip this piece out of my ear. Sean McConnell's in my ear. Lou's got my back right here at AM 950, theanswerorlando.com. Who do we have on the lines, Mr. McConnell? All right, Rick is on the lines. Zach is on video and helping me out with some research here. By the way, if you want to call into the program, the number to do so, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. We just have a minute before we go to break, but I want to talk about the victim a little bit. Some of the things that I've heard about this man, and his family, his daughter. He was an absolute hero. a volunteer firefighter. Even you even had Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, Democrat governor of Pennsylvania, that came out and spoke about him. He shared some information after speaking to the family. And I thought it was the right thing to do. Guys, in times like this, there's no red or blue. There's no Democrat or Republican. We are Americans. And I got to tell you, the man was absolutely a hero. I mean, his daughter shared some wonderful thoughts. Again, we'll get into that. Also, Melania Trump, I think she did a fabulous job of humanizing the president and helping us to take it down a notch. Again, this lady does not get the credit she deserves. And I'll be honest with you. I think a lot of first ladies don't. Even Michelle Obama, I didn't like her politics. I didn't like what she said. It's the first time I'm proud of my country. But I thought, even though I disagreed with her politics, I thought she was an effective first lady. The same with Laura Bush. So anyway, we'll talk about that. Carl Jackson in for the Officer Tatum. We'll be back in a few.
Do you remember back in 2020 when the store shelves were empty and nobody could find ammunition? I'd now like to tell you about a great company that I heard. It's called Ammo Squared. Tough times are coming, and how is your ammunition situation looking? I'd like to tell you about a company that has automated ammunition purchase and revolutionized the space. Ammo Squares help you stay stacked up with ammunition automatically. When I say automatically, I mean it's truly automated. A set it and forget it ammo purchasing program. Pick your caliber, set your budget, select a shipping trigger, and that's it. Your ammo will build up over time and is delivered automatically when you want it to be. I have not seen a company do this as effective as this company, Ammo Squared. Think about your ammo as an investment. When tough times come, you better have some in the bank when you need it. There is no minimum to buy, no membership needed, no extra fees. Customers can buy ammunition on a small budget, then watch it grow over time like a savings account. Visit them at AmmoSquared.com and join today. That's AmmoSquared.com. Join today.
All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the Officer Tatum. The number to call in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. Man, what this assassin intended for evil, I do believe that God intended for good. I think the Democrats are in real trouble right now. And obviously, they were in real trouble last week. Joe Biden is an absolute disaster. Kamala Harris is an absolute disaster. They've been trying to cover up the fact, and I guess with their voters, because everybody with a modicum of common sense or anybody that has eyes that work could watch a television set or listen to Joe Biden and could tell that something was wrong with the gentleman. So at best, you had a media that should have been asking questions. Is this guy okay? Remember, into Trump's presidency, sometimes some people, even before he took office, let's invoke the 25th Amendment, literally before the guy took office and into his administration. You get Joe Biden that clearly has dementia, and then crickets from the media. Absolutely complicit. And now they want to pretend as though they're watchdogs, right? They're no longer lapdogs. They're not going to be able to get away with it. And as a matter of fact, I'm curious to see what's going to happen with them. Joe Scarborough, Comcast took him off air. He and Mika Brzezinski this morning. I'm sure it was a temporary thing. They were concerned about what would happen, what guests might say if they came on Joe Scarborough's show. We'll be talking about this with Dr. Sebastian Gorka in the next hour, because I mentioned this yesterday. The Democrats don't get a pass. The rhetoric used by the left is directly responsible, in my opinion, to the assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump. And it's absolutely sad. And again, we've gotten to a point where, and it shouldn't. Now, listen, I don't believe the rhetoric has been so insane. I get tired of conservatives saying, well, both sides need to cool it down. No, I'm sorry. You don't hear conservatives saying we should go out and kill and assassinate. You can go on TikTok. You can go on Instagram, X. And it's insane. Go check out the libs of TikTok on X, or check out wokeness in wokeness on X, and watch some of the things that left wing people say and get away with. If you and I said it as conservatives, I mean, we'd have the FBI at our door. It's absolutely insane. It's insane. It isn't on both sides. I'm sure that sometimes conservatives, sometimes I say stuff that I regret. We'll talk about that, too. You know, things. What can we do to lower the temperature? I think Donald Trump has the right idea now. Lower the temperature, unite the party. He's changing his speech. He's changing his speech. But what the left has effectively done is they've dehumanized people. This gentleman, Corey Listen, I'm going to butcher his name. Forgive me, family. And thank you. I understand people have raised over $2 million on behalf of he and the other victims that were – he was killed, obviously. Two other victims that are now stable, thank God, after being shot by the – by the wannabe assassin, that bullet just missing. If Trump would not have gone off script to look back at the screen, the bullet would have lodged, or more than likely not lodged in his head, but probably would have split his head. I mean, it's absolutely sickening to talk about, but I do believe that God has given both Trump and this nation a second chance, because I don't believe if Trump were shot and killed that it would have just impacted a party, right? That would have impacted a nation. Obviously, it would have sent the presidential race in chaos, no doubt about it. But also, I think it would have gave way to even more violence. And I'm hoping it doesn't come to that. You see, Trump is striking a new tone. President Biden said he would strike a new tone, although he failed to take responsibility on Saturday, yesterday, whenever that was, that he gave his little 6-minute speech. That was an absolute disaster. Democrats want to get rid of him. I don't think they can get rid of him now. I think he's locked in. I think that's over. I know they were trying to raise all of this money, $90 million that was frozen. I got a story here that happened over the weekend. You had Michigan when he went out to Michigan to give a speech on Friday. Gretchen Whitmer didn't want to be near him with, anywhere near him, nor did other candidates that were running for office. They didn't want to be anywhere near Joe Biden, and they were still thinking about throwing him under the bus. This attempted assassination attempt changes absolutely everything. It changes absolutely everything because now, and I think Tudor Dixon, when we interviewed her here yesterday on the Salem News Channel, she said something, and I think she was spot on. And that's basically, at this point in time, who's going to want to inherit the Democratic nomination when you have already Trump that was already gaining in the polls, by the way? It was a great article on that. Perhaps I'll get to that today or tomorrow. We have to go back and remember that there was already leading, in the polls, national polls, and he was winning in the swing states, at least according to the polls. And then you have something like this happens, and it's just absolutely insane. So who wants to inherit the Democratic nomination and be forced to run against all of the momentum that you see building on the right? I mean, including with the announcement of J.D. Vance. Listen, for me, I think Trump is such a big name. I'm not convinced that J.D. Vance necessarily makes as big of an impact as a lot of other people might think. But I do think he is kind of the intellectual version of a Donald Trump. I think he's actually a little weaker in foreign policy, frankly, than Donald Trump. But intellectual wise, if I recall correctly, some of the ideas for running and some of the narratives and messaging Trump did way back in 2015, he read in Hillbilly Elegy, J.D. Vance's book. All right. And so anyway, we'll go through some of that history. I think it's an interesting pick. I think it's a pick, obviously, Trump is comfortable with. It fits him. It's a new generation, 39 years old. The last time someone that young had been picked for a VP, you have to go all the way back to Richard Nixon in, I believe, 1952, when Dwight Eisenhower picked him. So very, very interesting. But let me get back to this gentleman, Corey Comparatore. This is America. This is a man who was an engineer by trade, but a volunteer firefighter. He was a man that loved Jesus Christ, loved his Lord and Savior, loved his wife, loved his two daughters. He sacrificed himself, throwing himself over his family. He had neighbors that absolutely loved him. One neighbor across the street, directly from the story that I read, big Biden supporter. He's a big Trump supporter. You know, he's got his Trump flag in his yard. His neighbor has his Biden flag in his yard. They interviewed his neighbor, and he didn't care. He loved the man. He said, "We had different views with politics, but you know what? He was a good man. And we respected each other, and we had great conversation together. We had great time together. He would go fishing on his boat." You know what? That's That's America. That's America. So Corey Comparatore, I mean, just props to the guy. Just sounds like an amazing, sounds like he was an amazing guy. No doubt in my mind that he's up in heaven chilling with Jesus. He loved Jesus. They said that was clear. His daughter expressed how, I mean, the guy went out of his way to make sure that his children weren't without, if you will. The same is true of his wife. Just a good man. And now he's dead because a shooter thought that Donald Trump was just a political machine. I'll get to that.
I want to talk to you all about security. I want to talk about AI phishing threats. I want to talk about being safe. Last year, and this is a fact, last year, over $10 billion was taken from people just like you and me. And a lot of those scams were via email. You got to be aware and you got to protect yourself. I recently started using Bulletproof Inbox to help protect me and my family. It's simple. It's an email add-on for Gmail or Outlook that adds a permission layer to my inbox. Bulletproof takes all those phishing scams, cold emails you never asked for, political solicitation, and all the crap and put them in a separate folder, a safe folder that I can review on my own time. It took me about 15 minutes to customize my settings, and I've been saving at least double that in time every day. Go to bulletproofinbox.com/Tatum and take your inbox back. Enter the promo code Tatum when you sign up and get 2 free months. Protect yourself and protect your loved ones. Go to bulletproofinbox.com/Tatum.
All right. Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in. By the way, I will be with you all week long. The number to call in, 844-900-7243. Officer Tatum will be at the RNC convention. I will be sitting in for him. The number to call in, 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243. I kind of wish I was there. This is going to be, obviously I hear security was tight or is tight there. Obviously, it was going to be tight. Now it's probably going to be even more tight, if you can imagine that. I heard Mike Gallagher talk about this morning how it literally took him about 90 minutes just to get through security this morning. And frankly, you know what? I don't blame them. People go there to celebrate and nominate the official nominee, and they should be safe and they should feel safe. Guys, I want to talk to you about the new T-shirts that Salem is selling that are available to you. The Salem Consumer Products team worked late into the night and created 3 new T-shirts to sell in our stores. You can get your brand new Trump T-shirt right now on SalemEventStore.com. That is Salem Event Store, or Events Store, actually. So 2 S's, Salem Events with an S, store.com. There are 3 shirts available, Unity, Peace, MAGA, and also the second shirt, Fight, Fight, Fight. Third shirt, Fear Not. So you have your choice of 3 shirts. Go to Salem Events Store.com. Salem Events Store.com. All right. Before I go forward, let's take a couple of calls, and then I want to get into what Melania Trump said. Again, she does not get enough credit, in my opinion, for being, just an elegant, beautiful first lady that did. I thought she did a magnificent job as first lady amongst all the chaos. I mean, working with, underprivileged children and different things that she had worked with, just didn't get any play. And then they're going to put Jill Biden on the front of Vogue and not put Melania Trump, because that's not America, man. That's not America. The left has become so hateful. It's okay. It is okay to disagree with people politically. It is okay. It isn't an attack on you. And sadly, the left has done such a great job of demonizing the right and brainwashing many on the left, including in schools. And sadly, the church has been weak and effective in fighting back against this, where the left has taught our fellow Americans to hate us. But we don't hate them. We hate their policies. There's a big difference. Anyway, let's do this. Let's go to the calls. We've got Mike. Mike is in Minneapolis. Mike wants to talk about socialism and fascism. Mike, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. You've got the mic.
Look, you're the best in the business. I wish you were on every day in Minneapolis. I don't see a difference between socialism, communism, and fascism. And you see Democrats project and call us that when, in fact, they, I think, are the real fascists, but they call themselves, they'll slap lipstick on the label and call it progressivism.
Well, okay, so, yeah, progressivism, basically, obviously, socialism is centralized control of the government, right? And so we saw that the United States government, honestly, even for Barack Obama, but I believe it sped up greatly with Barack Obama. But over time, sadly, we've given so much power to these bureaucratic agencies. Presidents have come in. Congress has been weak. And then you've got this centralized control of government that has been getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Trump gets in. He tries to deregulate some of that stuff, and that's good. But and then you have, you know, an authoritarian style government, which is fascism. They would collude with corporations. I do believe, and I know I got to be careful here because I'm just saying, listen, we don't need the bombastic language and all this kind of stuff. But I will say this. I do believe that the Democrat Party acts fascistically. And that is, I mean, just look at what they've done using government power. Combined with social media entities to censor political opponents, using major corporations to get their way with DEI and CRT in order to embolden and empower themselves. There is a bit of a difference, but sadly, I do believe, and they're out. I mean, they straight up admit it. I mean, Bernie Sanders, he says he's a socialist. I think he's a little more intense, quite frankly, and the same is true with the squad. But those are their ideas, and they're free to have those ideas in the United States of America, but we're free to defeat them. All right, this is Carl Jackson in for the Officer Tatum. We'll be back with more on the other side. All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in. Remember, if you want to call in to be a part of the program, you could do so at 844-900-7243. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what your thoughts on the Trump assassination attempt. Obviously, the RNC convention has begun today. The theme tonight, are they going to focus on the economy? I believe we have EJ and Tony coming on in the third hour, if I'm not mistaken. Thank you. Okay. So yes, we do. Sean McConnell has just confirmed, economist, for the Heritage Foundation. We're going to be talking about the economy. There's a new housing crisis, that is out there. There's a retirement crisis. I'd love to talk to him about that, get his thoughts on what, the Trump administration can do and should do, a Trump Vance administration. Man, I just noticed that Trump Vance, Trump Pence. You wonder if Trump is OCD. Does he have something with a one syllable last name with five letters? Pence, Vance. You just have to wonder. You never know with Trump. But anyway, we'll have him on. And also, I've just been texting with Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation as well. Constitutional attorney there, legal scholar, brilliant when it comes to constitutional law. I'm telling you, the Biden administration, you could not ask for a worse couple of weeks. It's just been absolutely insane. Well, actually, even more so, more than a couple of weeks, going all the way back to the disastrous debate. He tried to clean it up with George Stephanopoulos, not happening. At that time, Democrats just realized they abandoned him. I don't think that there's anything he could do. But he digs in his heels, right? That's one of the problems Democrats have. And so now you had Barack Obama and you had Hillary Clinton and you had the Democrat establishment trying to work together to shiv him. But he's not going anywhere, driving their poll numbers down. So now they have to be concerned about down ballot races and all this kind of stuff. And then he comes out, he gives a speech. I believe it was in Philadelphia. He talks about targeting Donald Trump and just more incendiary stuff because he can't run on policy, right? Can't run on policy. And then the assassination attempt. And then Democrats have to try and roll things back, except they can't, because that has been their campaign all along. And now you have to wonder if Democrats are dumb enough to place another nominee or try to continue to fight against Joe Biden when Joe Biden has the cash. The only person he can transfer that cash to is Kamala Harris, that $200+ million, right, that he can transfer that to is to Kamala Harris. Now, it can go to the DNC. It can go for their operations, but it can't go to another presidential candidate. So Biden has leverage there. Now, $90 million, some donors came in and said, listen, until we settle this thing or until he's out, we're freezing this $90 million. Word was they were going to withhold that $90 million for another nominee. But this assassination attempt, I'm telling you, it changes the game. Why would you want to run another candidate at this point? You may as well focus, if you're a Democrat, you may as well focus on senatorial and House, congressional races, because, listen, I don't want to get into the predicting game, but I got to tell you, I don't see how a Democrat candidate can beat Donald Trump. I don't. I didn't feel that way. I was like, hey, we got to listen. And I still think we got to be careful. Can't rest on our laurels. It's just going to be extremely difficult, especially if you change the tenor of the conversation. I want to take a call, and then I want to read to you this memo from Melania Trump. I believe it may have been an ex post, because when you go this route, I think it changes the game, too. You can't say that Trump is an existential threat to democracy and then try to kill the guy. And again, oh, no. This shooter was a registered Republican. No. He registered Republican. As far as we know, he never voted Republican. He did Democrat, and he donated to Democrats. And I'm convinced where your money goes is where your heart lies. So his heart lied with Act Blue. All right, let's go to John. John has been waiting patiently. He's in Denver. By the way, if you want to call into the program, the number to do so, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243 is the number to call into the program. John, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. You got the mic.
Thank you so much for having me on, Carl. I want to start by giving my prayers and blessings to all of those that were hurt and killed and the families of them that were hurt and killed at the rally over the weekend. I'm just heartbroken by all that. But, you know, I think that it's very clear that it's time for us to take the ideology and the competence of our leaders into really thinking about who we have leading us in these various areas. As far as I'm concerned, every drop of blood that was shed this weekend is on the hands of the leader of the civil service. As far as I'm concerned, there is no way that we should be even thinking about this woman continuing to lead this Secret Service. The way she mishandled the entire situation of security is just, it's appalling. And why she would have ever allowed someone to be able to be on a building. There are only three buildings close enough for there to be any kind of problem. And that's all there had to be, is three people covering those buildings to make sure that no one was injured. And we had the bloodshed and death of people because of her incompetence. As far as I'm concerned, there's no doubt in my mind that she has to go. She has to either resign or has to be fired. Every drop of blood is on her hands.
John, listen, I'm in total agreement with you. I will get into this at the top of the hour, and we'll talk about it more throughout the entire show, because it is one of the biggest stories out there beyond the assassination attempt itself. This lady, Susan Cheadle is her name, is a total disgrace. She needs to go bye-bye. Wokeness needs to go bye-bye when it comes to the Secret Service. We'll be back. Carl Jackson, M for the Officer Tatum.
You might have heard that Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of this council culture, so they want to pass the savings directly on to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not have even known about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel set, $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. This amazing offer won't last long. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Tatum, or call 800-976-8379 today. That's promo code Tatum.
The number to call into the program, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. If you're on the lines, please stay on the lines. I promise I'll get to you. Marsha, I see you up there. Love to get to you. If you want to call in, 844-900-7243. All right, just real quick hat tip. This from the New York Post. Thank you, Zach. Grateful defiant Trump recounts surviving surreal assassination attempt at rally. I'm supposed to be dead, he said. A grateful and at times defiant Donald Trump told the Post Sunday, he's, quote, supposed to be dead, close quote, as he recalled the harrowing moment a would-be assassin shot at him at a Pennsylvania campaign rally. The former president said the experience was, quote, unquote, very surreal experience, I'm sorry, that nearly ended his life during an interview aboard his private plane en route with Michael Goodwin en route to Milwaukee for the GOP convention today. He said, and this is a quote from Trump, the doctor at the hospital said he never saw anything like this. He called it a miracle, said Trump, who was sporting a large loose white bandage over his ear. His staff insisted that no photos be taken. You might understand that. He went on to say, and I quote, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be dead. I'm supposed to be dead. He said it twice. He said he would be if he had not turned his head slightly to the right. Just think about that. To read a chart on illegal immigrants at that instant. He decided to go off a teleprompter at that instant. That would have been a kill shot. It would have been a kill shot. Oh, man, would have torn off a small piece of his ear at the very or it did tear off a small piece of his ear. It would have hit him directly in the forehead had he not turned. Trump said that his Secret Service agents led him off the stage. He still wanted to continue speaking to supporters, but the agents told him it wasn't safe and they had to go to a hospital. He marveled at how the agents came flying in like linebackers. He said they were so big they took me down like linebackers. I wanted to get to this Melania Trump thing, but I've waited a little too long. I wanted to share that with Trump as well, because the goal is to humanize him. Guys, regardless of how you feel about Trump, even if you're voting against him, he's human just like you. He may have a little more money. He may have served as the most powerful man of the United States of America. But the way that I see it as a Christian, eventually every single person will bow their knee to Jesus Christ, whether it's in this life or the next life. And so I always look at people in general, not as people to be worshiped, not as people to be fawned over, but how is God going to use them? And God may use them to bless us. God may use them to curse us. But when we get back, I do want to make sure that I read this memo, if you will, from Melania Trump, because I thought it was absolutely gorgeous. And again, she does not get the credit that she deserves. And I think it's so important for a time like this to change the tenor, if you will, of the conversation when it comes to Democrat, Republican, right and left. I think she does it effectively. We'll talk about it. Marsha, callers, don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
Is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm out right now, but you are in good hands with my man, Carl Jackson.
All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the Officer Tatum. Joining me now is none other than Dr. Sebastian Gorka. He wrote a great column at Breitbart News that I think everyone should check out, quite frankly. And I was glad to read it. It's something that I had talked about frankly, on the Salem News Channel on Sunday. I was getting a little perturbed that even some conservatives that were kind of, opining both sides need to calm down the rhetoric. And I was trying to figure out what the heck they were talking about. Anyway, Dr. Sebastian Gorka tackles this greatly. He does so. Again, the column is called The Assassin Who Had to Happen. Dr. Gorka, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Thank you for having me, buddy. Good to be here.
Absolutely. I don't know why they give you applause, Dr. Gorka. I come in and sit in. They don't give me any of that. You appear for a few seconds, and they absolutely love you. The crowd goes wild. But anyway, listen, I want to get your take on the assassination attempt. I want to hear your take on J.D. Vance. And then a lot of the people that I believe are responsible and culpable for this assassination attempt that are on the left. I'm kind of getting tired of this argument that both sides need to calm down. I just disagree with that. I think it's the left. It's been the left that has made these incendiary comments that I think led to the assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump. Your take?
Yeah, I've had it. Even some friends of mine are involved in this. Decent conservatives who are saying we have to bring the temperature down. We didn't say put crosshairs on Joe Biden, make a bullseye out of him. We didn't say that, you know, AOC has to be eliminated. That's what Congressman Goldman said of President Trump. There's only one party that's normalized violence for the last 9 years, and it's the party of Antifa and BLM. I mean, let's not forget that the diversity hire, who's the current vice president, actually raised money for the bail of BLM arsonists. They're fine with violence. If you disagree with them, then violence against you is absolutely fine. In the last week, they put President Trump on the cover of two of their favorite magazines looking like Adolf Hitler. So what the hell did you expect if for 9 years you called my former boss a dictator, a Hitler, and a threat to democracy? Of course, I mean, this was the point of my article on Breitbart. Of course, somebody's going to try and kill him. But if anybody has to dial it back, it's the bloody lunatics that are today's Democrat Party.
Dr. Gorka, I don't see where else the Democrat Party could go, frankly. I think they're stuck with Joe Biden. I don't know who would want to take on this disaster. At this point in time, at one point in time, I thought Gavin Newsom might step in, and then trying to get rid of Joe. I just don't think it's going to happen. And I got to tell you, obviously, as sad as it is, I think it's a true statement that the assassination attempt further emboldens former President Donald Trump. I think it emboldens the conservative movement. I think it makes the case that the real threat to democracy has been many of those people on the left that you talk about. Where would the left go from here? What's their argument now? What would their argument be?
Oh, it's the same thing. It's abortion, abortion, abortion. It's gun control. It's, I mean, look, the whores of the left in the mainstream lying legacy media. Again, this goes to the naivety of the conservatives who said, oh, after the assassination attempt, they'll dial it back. No, they've actually doubled down. They've literally, Martha Raddatz has doubled down. George Stephanopoulos have doubled down. They're actually blaming President Trump for the attempt to kill him. My gosh, you guys are good. That was quick. Yeah, they have nowhere to go because they've painted themselves into a corner. And not only that, there are no normal people left on the right, on the left. I mean, you don't have to like him. I don't. I think he's a lech and an absolutely reprehensible figure. But Bill Clinton was a rational actor. Back in the 90s, he would rein in the lunatics, or he'd just make the lunatics irrelevant. Tell me the person who's a Democrat leader who's reining in the lunatics. I mean, we've got the most senior senator. We've got Chuck Schumer on the steps of the Supreme Court, literally threatening two of President Trump's nominees. I mean, you've got Chuck Schumer saying, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, you will reap the whirlwind. I mean, that's a threat. You've got Maxine Waters saying, if you see a member of the Trump administration in public, surround them and harass them. You've got Eric Holder, right? You've got Obama's wingman, his attorney general, who says, when they go low, you kick them. I mean, these are the leaders of the Democrat Party. They're lunatics.
And not to mention the assassination attempt of Justice Kavanaugh. Then you have Benny Thompson, Stafford.
Or Steve Scalise. I mean, we can go on and on and on.
So the bullets always come one way, you know, it seems. And then Benny Thompson, Stafford, no longer employed after a Trump shooting post. But someone had a good this wasn't me. Someone said this earlier, framed a good question. Why would you have hired this person anyway? Because it would have been clear. If a person is that nasty and disgusting and despicable to share a post like that after the former president, someone tried to kill the former president, they probably talk like that a lot around Benny Thompson.
Well, yeah, of course they do. But who's Benny Thompson? Benny Thompson is the man who 6 weeks ago, along with several other Democrats, tried to strip President Trump of his Secret Service detail, saying, oh, a convicted felon can't have a Secret Service detail. Why would you want to strip President Trump of his Secret Service detail? He's the most threatened human being in a developed country right now. I mean, why would you do that? Let's say the quiet bit out loud. Because you want him dead. Because you know that the senile husk of a man in the White House who campaigned from his basement and won an election, that man, there's no way that he can defeat President Trump after the last 3.5 years. So these people, I mean, let's be very, very clear about this. They want President Trump dead because he is an existential threat to their corruption and to their graft and to them controlling America forever. It's really that simple.
Dr. Gorka, we have just a few minutes left with you. The assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump. Listen, I've not been in the military. I don't have any special training when it comes to weapons. I shoot, you know, I go to a range and I'll shoot the weapons that I have, the firearms that I have. No special training, like I said. But I can tell you, just being ghetto fabulous and growing up where I grew up, Dr. Gorka, there are places that I knew to look, places where I knew not to go. And I can tell you now, if I go out to dinner with my wife, family, I'm looking at exits. I'm looking at it's just the way that I am. I'm thinking if I go to a Trump rally, one of the first places that I'm looking is up on every single freaking rooftop that's surrounding the former president. What's your take on this shooter that almost killed former President Trump and the failure, obviously, of the Secret Service to be able to protect him?
You have to read my Breitbart article yesterday. It's gone viral. I did a little video version of it that got 300,000 impressions in less than 24 hours. This is a catastrophic failure. The Secret Service failed catastrophically in so many ways, not just not securing that building, which was their responsibility. It wasn't the responsibility of the local police or the local sheriff's department. The Secret Service is responsible for the life of the president and to any one of their protectees. But on top of that, the fact that they kept President Trump in the kill box after he had been shot, compare that video to the video from March of 1981, where President Reagan was shot by Hinckley. As soon as the shots are fired, you don't even see Ronald Reagan again because he's literally picked up like a sack of potatoes and thrown. Watch this video. He's thrown into the back of the limo and goes straight to GW Hospital instantly. To Georgetown Hospital. Look at these guys. Look at the speed. The threat is neutralized. One of the guys right there has already pulled out a fully automatic Uzi from under his sports jacket. And one of the other guys, who's bigger than Ronald Reagan, because they all were, literally jumps up, makes a starfish shape to absorb the bullets from Hinckley. We have fat, short women who are screaming on the mic. What do we do now? What do we do now? As they're adjusting their sunglasses. It's just another example of DEI out of control and a massively, don't forget, the Secret Service works for the Department of Homeland Security. That is the most demoralized agency in America. That's the agency that Alejandro Mayorkas is used to allow, 20 million illegals into America? This is a demoralized, DEI-infected entity that utterly failed.
All right, we'll leave it there. Dr. Gorka, thank you for your time. Appreciate you. Take care. God bless.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the increasing cost of health insurance? Have you had enough of not having control over your healthcare dollars? Introducing ShareRight, healthcare done the right way. At ShareRight, you're not just a number. You're part of a caring community. And forget about paying excessive premiums. With ShareRight, you can save 30 to 50% compared to health insurance. Think about what you could do with all those savings. But it's more than just savings. ShareRight ensures that you have access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies, with ShareRight, your healthcare is our top priority. Empower yourself today by taking control of your healthcare costs. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRight is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
243.
All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the Officer Tatum. I want to go straight to the lines. Again, the number to call in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. Let's talk to Marsha. Marsha is in Los Gatos, California, or Los California?
That's it.
All right. Okay, yes. All right. Well, good to talk to you, Marsha. You got the mic.
Yes, Carl Jackson, never doubt that God must love you very, very much. You've done us so well over the years. Are you kidding?
Oh,
we love you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Carl, I just want to say, did we actually hear our President Biden in his decline essentially basically ask for a fatwa on President Trump?
Listen, I'm not sure that he realized he did, but I think it's a fair question, Marsha. I think even he realized, which is why he came out with the not a press conference, but he came, you know, speaking from the Oval Office the other day, and he realized that he needs to tone things down. He didn't do a great job of that because he never accepted responsibility. But you have to use common sense, and you have to know that over a period of time, something like this is going to happen. And quite frankly, the left did know, Marsha. I mean, they saw what happened to Kavanaugh, Justice Kavanaugh, the attempted assassination attempt. They saw what happened to, as Dr. Sebastian Gorka just mentioned, Steve Scalise, Representative Steve Scalise. Rand Paul was on that baseball field as well. They know what the left is capable of. But quite frankly, I feel like Joe Biden is a mobster. I feel like he's a gangster, and he knew exactly what could happen. Kamala Harris, the same thing. Got bail money, helped to raise bail money to bail out some of these Antifa BLM rioters back in 2020. These people know exactly they would be willing to use force and violence. They are, as a matter of fact, in order to retain power for themselves. And so sadly, in a sense, I think you're right. I think you're right. I mean, I don't think you can naively say or speak the words that Biden was speaking and not assume that something like an assassination attempt would happen. It was bound to happen. They've been calling the guy Hitler for years. You know, the way that he framed it, and I forget exactly how Joe Biden framed it. But basically targeting Trump. And again, I forget the exact phraseology. But yeah, I think they know, not to mention the weaponization of the DOJ, which, by the way, took a major blow. We'll be talking about that shortly with constitutional attorney Zach Smith. That the cases against Trump with this, the largest, the most solid case, perhaps, the document case took a major, just a major blow today. So anyway, Marsha, listen, I appreciate you being out there. I appreciate your kind words. I love you, too. Thank you so much for listening to the program. And I think you're right. We definitely need prayer for this nation. We need prayer for people on the left. They need it. They need it. Those fools are crazy. All right.
Thank you.
God bless you, Marsha. All right. So those fools are crazy. They are. The left, they are crazy. the left, the media has made these people insane. Okay, so let me find this, and then I got some video clips that I'd like to play for you that the guys have gotten together. But I want to now I've lost my place. I had Melania Trump's. Oh, here it is. I want to read this to you. Again, the shooting definitely, I think it humanized former President Donald Trump to more people that perhaps weren't in his corner, didn't like the man, but they were hearing he's Hitler and he's a threat to democracy. And then you see the guy almost take a bullet for the country and you're like, maybe he's not the bad guy. You know what I mean? Having this interview that he did right away with Michael Goodwin of the New York Post and just hearing those words, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be dead. I'm supposed to be dead, he says. He says it a couple of times. He talks about the Secret Service, how they took him down, how they're like linebackers. And listen, the people that were surrounding him and trying to take Trump down and trying to cover him, you know, respect, because they are in the line of fire. That is also their job, but they are in the line of fire. But obviously, that was a massive, massive, huge failure. I mean, a little kid could walk around a vicinity like you saw President Trump was at, former President Trump, in Butler, Pennsylvania. Look on the rooftops. I heard someone say this Canadian sniper has got the record for the longest kill shot ever, 2.1 miles. I heard him on another program today just saying, I could walk a 10-year-old kid through that vicinity that has played, what's that video game? Now it escapes me. I'm not a big video game. Call of Duty, I believe. And I could tell that kid, secure this vicinity, and they would do a better job than the Secret Service did that day. We'll get into this, Susan Cheadle. The caller earlier was absolutely right. That chick needs to go. She's not going to go, but she needs to go. If I were the House of Representatives, they've got the power to wield. I would cut off her pay until she leaves. It's not going to happen from Biden. All right. It's not. The guy doesn't even know what's going on. The people that are helping to run the federal government, this administrative state, Biden and Jill Hunter, they need all the help they can get. And they need a bunch of loyal lemmings within the deep state to continue to help them. So it's not going to happen. But I do believe Republicans could and should force the issue. All right. Let me just read this. This is Melania Trump, and I just thought this was beautiful. She does not get the credit she deserves. Frankly, more than any other Trump, I would love to meet her. I just think she was fabulous as a first lady. I was always upset she didn't get there. And I didn't think she would be a great first lady. I'll admit that. I thought she was wonderful. I thought she was amazing. All right. She says, I'm thinking of you. This is after her husband, was nearly shot on national TV. My fellow Americans, we have always been a unique union. America, the fabric of our gentle nation, is tattered, but our courage and common sense must ascend and bring us back together as one. When I watched that violent bullet strike my husband, Donald, I realized my life and Barron's life were on the brink of devastating change. I am grateful to the brave Secret Service agents and law enforcement officials who risked their own lives to protect my husband, to the families of the innocent victims who are now suffering from this heinous act, I humbly offer my sincere sympathy. You need to summon your inner strength for such a terrible reason saddens me. A monster who recognized my husband, listen to this, as an inhuman political machine, attempted to wring out Donald's passion, his laughter, his ingenuity, love of music, and inspiration. The core facets of my husband's life, his human side, were buried below the political machine. Donald, the generous and caring man who I have been with through the best of times and the worst of times. Let us not forget that differing opinions, policy, and political games are inferior to love. Our personal, structural, and life commitment until death is at serious risk. Political concepts are simple when compared to us human beings. We're all humans, and fundamentally, instinctively, we want to help one another. Just a couple more sentences. I'll wrap up when we get back. But a beautiful, beautiful note by Melania Trump. All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. So the last couple of lines of Melania Trump's memo, if you will, or maybe it was a post on X. I'm not exactly sure. But she says, we're all humans, and fundamentally, instinctively, we want to help one another. American politics are only one vehicle that can uplift our communities. Love, compassion, kindness, and empathy are necessities. And let us remember that when the time comes to look beyond the left and the right, beyond the red and the blue, we all come from families with a passion to fight for a better life together while we are here in this earthly realm. And I say this because I'm glad she wrote this, because I think this will help change the tone of the race, too. I think Trump is doing a brilliant job. He decided to change his speech. He was going to make it a hard-hitting speech against Biden. And honestly, I still think that would be effective, because a lot of people have struggled. But I got to tell you, and Sean McConnell and I were talking about this, I think a lot of people's views of Donald Trump have changed. You look at when you actually see a man almost killed on national television, your view of him changes, and how he handled that. It just changes things. It softens your view of them, especially when he's been called Hitler and he's the one that shot up. But they have been going after him like crazy, the left has. And I'm telling you, it's just been falling to pieces. Listen, right now I have on the line with me, and callers, don't go anywhere. Vincent, Tony, I see you out there. You want to call in and be a part of the show, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243 is the number to call in. But Zach Smith, he's a constitutional attorney, brilliant, at the Heritage Foundation. And you can read his pieces there, his research and all this kind of stuff. So I wanted to bring him on because the Biden campaign suffered a devastating blow today. Zach Smith, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Well, thanks so much for having me on this evening. I appreciate it.
All right, so this is another crazy weekend here, Zach. But this, I almost, judges are human too. I want you to obviously get into the legalese of this case, but I have to wonder if being curious and a little speculation, Judge Eileen Cannon, perhaps she wanted to throw this thing out. Clarence Thomas writes his opinion of this case, Jack Smith's appointment as this special counsel, the assassination attempt, and maybe today is the right day to do it. This is just me speculating because I love the story, but I want you to obviously get into the legalese of it. And I'm like, okay, she's a human being too, but is there a possibility she wanted to throw this thing out in the first place? And now this, she throws this documents case out, the best case that they have against Donald Trump?
Well, look, Carl, here's what I can say. I certainly don't think this is an opinion Judge Cannon threw together overnight. It's 90 plus pages at least, with extensive citations. It dives into the record a good bit. And so this has clearly been something she's been working on for a while. And I have to give kudos to Judge Cannon. You know, when she initially decided to hold a hearing on this issue of whether Jack Smith was constitutionally appointed, she did it before Clarence Thomas wrote his concurring opinion. She got a lot of flack from the mainstream media. Yes. And she's been portrayed, I think, really unfairly by a lot of those commentators. But her opinion today, whether it's ultimately upheld or not, and I think there are compelling reasons why it should be upheld on appeal, but I think he deserves kudos for giving thoughtful consideration to this very important issue, which, by the way, clearly was at the top of mind for Justice Clarence Thomas as well when he urged the lower federal court judges, like Judge Eileen Cannon, to consider this issue before they address any of the other underlying merits in any of these Trump prosecutions.
Okay, so Zach, I'm speaking with Zach Smith, constitutional attorney at the Heritage Foundation. We have 1 minute before the break. Can you stay with us until after the break?
Sure.
Here, Zach. All right, so.
Yeah, happy to do
just,
it.
Okay, thank you. So just real quickly here, give people just the gist of this particular case in 30 seconds if you can.
Yeah, so it involves Donald Trump keeping documents marked classified. Jack Smith has brought a host of charges based on the retention of those documents. And essentially, Judge Cannon today threw out those charges because she said Jack Smith was unconstitutionally appointed and never had the authority to bring those charges in the first place.
And I love this decision, Zach, and we'll talk to Zach Smith after the break, because I just think it brings us back to the Constitution. We'll talk about that next. Carl Jackson in for the Officer Tatum. Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation. He'll be back with us in a sec.
Live in the pain-free ReliefFactor.com studios.
Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the Officer Tatum right now with me on the lines. And by the way, if you want to call in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. Vincent and Tony, I see you out there. Don't go anywhere. We'll get to you. But I'm speaking right now to Zach Smith. Zach Smith is a constitutional attorney at the Heritage Foundation. And we're talking about the classified documents case. Judge Eileen Cannon, am I going too far to say she is absolutely courageous? I mean, given the culture that we're living in today, she obviously, in my opinion, she did the right thing by throwing out this case, or at least dismissing it on the basis that Jack Smith is not constitutionally able to you know, to even argue this thing. But it takes a little courage to do that, given the political atmosphere.
Well, look, this is why we have life-tenured federal judges. We want them to be able to make these difficult decisions without having to worry about repercussions to their careers or losing their jobs or anything of that nature. But even with that protection, many judges succumb to the social pressures, the institutional pressures, or refuse to do their jobs and decide cases. So I think Judge Cannon deserves kudos, whether you agree with her decision or not, for exactly what you said, Carl, for doing her duty, even in the face of very intense criticism. And make about it. She's received intense criticism. She's going to continue to receive intense criticism. But at the end of the day, this is what we want our federal judges to do, to make the call about what the law and the Constitution requires. And that's exactly what she did earlier today.
What impact do you think this decision might have on other court cases? Obviously, the Fannie Willis case that actually works. But anyway, the case up in Atlanta, I mean, that's been a disaster. I don't think that's going anywhere, at this point in time. But how does it impact the other cases? How does it, in your opinion, impact perhaps even maybe the sentencing of, Judge Juan Merchan?
Yeah, no, it's a great question, Carl. Look, I think Judge Tanya Chutkan, who's overseeing the other federal prosecution in Washington, D.C., that was brought by Jack Smith, she's certainly going to have to address this issue. We'll have to see if she comes out the same way Judge Eileen Cannon does or not. I tend to doubt that she will, to be perfectly honest, but she'll certainly have to consider that. And then, of course, Judge Juan Merchan in New York in the Manhattan case that was brought by Alvin Bragg against Donald Trump. Don't forget, he was originally scheduled to sentence Donald Trump on July 11th, just a few days before this week's RNC convention. But he had to delay that because now there are issues that he is going to have to address after the Supreme Court's immunity ruling. Those same issues and some related ones as well could come up in the Fulton County case down in Atlanta with Fannie Willis, as you mentioned there. And so, look, bottom line, Carl, none of these cases are going to trial before the election in November. And then, of course, if Donald Trump wins, I suspect we'll see the federal prosecutions go away. And I think there are very compelling reasons why, at a minimum, you would see any enforcement actions in the state prosecution stage. Although, to be perfectly honest, I think we all should agree that those prosecutions should never have been brought in the first place and should go away as well.
Do you think they're likely to go away if he becomes the president? I mean, I would assume that they would say this is null and void. This is worthless at this point. I believe they're political, so.
Well, look, I think certainly that any enforcement action either New York or Georgia would try to bring against Donald Trump. I suspect there would be very real constitutional arguments made that you can't have a state essentially trying to imprison a sitting president. Can you imagine even more of the chaos that would cause? But look, we've talked about it before, Carl. The Manhattan decision that was overseen by Judge Juan Merchan. Judge Merchan made numerous problematic rulings during the course of that case, from the jury instructions he gave to the testimony he allowed in, the very prejudicial testimony irrelevant to the case from Stormy Daniels and others, the testimony he excluded from Brad Smith, a former federal election commissioner, who is essentially going to say that even if what Alvin Bragg alleges is true, it doesn't constitute a campaign finance violation, not to mention the very unique theory that Alvin Bragg pursued, essentially predicating a state prosecution on federal campaign finance violations that the federal government itself had declined to pursue. And so I think you have many, many appellate issues that need to be resolved in the New York case. I think the Georgia case faces many, many hurdles as well, not the least of which is whether Fannie Willis should continue to be on that case or whether she should be removed from prosecuting it, given her very real conflict of interest. And then Jack Smith's two federal prosecutions. Obviously, I suspect he's going to appeal this decision from Judge Eileen Cannon in the documents case. The DOJ, Biden DOJ, could also choose to re-indict Donald Trump through a properly appointed person like a United States attorney, but that would take some time as well. And then many of the underlying charges that Jack Smith brought in Washington, D.C., don't forget, the factual basis, the legal basis for some of those underlying charges have also been called into question, given another Supreme Court ruling, the Fisher case, which dealt with a January 6th defendant, where essentially the Supreme Court said in many of those January 6th prosecutions, the DOJ had interpreted a statute far too broadly to encompass conduct it was never intended to encompass. And so at the end of the day, Carl, all of these prosecutions are facing very real, very serious problems. And I think Donald Trump is facing a much better prospect of success on the merits in many of these cases than any of us anticipated even a few months ago.
Zach, I haven't spoken with you since a lot of these major decisions came down. We only have a minute left, but I'm very curious about this Chevron deference case, that being overturned. If Trump is to were to get elected, and I believe he will at this point, the impact, I mean, he likes deregulation, thank God. I mean, he could really cut these institutions down to size, the bureaucracy, given that decision, could he not?
Well, Carl, fundamentally, that decision was about who do we want making important decisions for us as a society? Do we want unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats in many of these administrative agencies making these decisions? Or do we want our elected representatives, the Congress in conjunction with the president, passing laws, making these very important policy decisions? And so thankfully, now that Chevron deference has gone away, now that courts no longer have to defer to these unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats,
15 seconds, or 10, sorry,
and their interpretations, it places power back in the hands of the people, which is a good thing for us as a country.
It's exactly where we want it. Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation, thank you for coming on with such quick notice, man. Take care. God bless you. We'll be back. Carl Jackson in for the Officer Tatum. All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the Officer Tatum. The number to call into the program, 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243 is the number to call in. Let's go right to the lines. Let's go to Vincent. Vincent is in Atlanta, Georgia. Vincent, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. You've got the mic.
Hey, Carl. These are dark days. I just want to tell everyone that Trump derangement syndrome is real. It is dangerous. I see it as an irrational hatred of Donald Trump that surpasses logic, reason, common sense, and love of country. And it has infected FBI, CIA, Secret Service, the mass mainstream media. Just look up what everything that they have done. So please, whatever they tell us, we need to verify it, because these people are suffering from this illness.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt about it. We're going to be speaking with Stephen Friend in the next hour. EJ Antoni is with us at the top of the hour. We'll be talking about the economy. It's important that we remember some of the issues that we're fighting for. Obviously, a lot of people are hurting out there. So we'll talk to EJ Antoni about the economy. Stephen Friend, former FBI whistleblower, also former FBI SWAT, is going to be joining us to talk about the assassination attempt on former President Trump and giving us his assessment of what happened there. There's some more news breaking on the Daily Mail that apparently the shooter was up there for over 20 minutes, which boggles the mind. Let me play a couple clips for you, because this madness from the left isn't going anywhere. This is video clip number 7. This is Stephanopoulos speaking with Martha Raddatz on, where is he on, ABC, about the Trump assassination. Let's go ahead and roll that, por favor.
You point out the statements from J.D. Vance and Vivek Ramaswamy. Of course, President Trump and his supporters have contributed to this violent rhetoric as well.
Well, absolutely, George. We were just looking back this morning at some of the things that former President Trump has said. He warned last March of potential death and destruction if he were charged by the Manhattan District Attorney. Our country is being destroyed as they tell us to be peaceful. Trump in January warned of bedlam in the country if the criminal charges against him succeeded. And of course, in March, he said, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country.
These people are sick. One more video. Sonny Hostin, video clip number 2. The conversation should be about real gun control.
And so, but my guess is they're going to say the Secret Service screwed up. If there were other people with guns. And I think that gun ownership will probably, because of this event, go up in this country instead of going down. And that is my fear. I think we need to have an honest and real conversation about real gun control legislation.
Okay.
Well, okay. So you got it? The reason why Trump was almost assassinated was because of Trump, and the issue is guns, not left-wing rhetoric. You got it? That's their message. We'll be back.
Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm out right now, but you are in good hands with my man, Carl Jackson.
All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the Officer Tatum. The number to call in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. Sean McConnell's got is in my ear. Lou's got my back right here at AM 950, The Answer Orlando. .com. Zach is helping us out on video and with some research here. Rick is on the lines, and we've got EJ and Tony on the line. Speaking of economists from the Heritage Foundation, EJ, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. Thank you for joining us.
No, Carl, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so absolutely, thank you for joining us, especially on such short notice. But listen, the first night tonight, the RNC convention, they're focusing on the economy. I just want to talk about the state of the economy. We've had such big news, obviously, with the attempted ouster of Joe Biden on the left, and then the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump, which is just absolutely an insane time in history to be living in. But also, I don't want people to forget some of the problems that they were having before all of this chaos happened, because Trump was leading in the polls, because a lot of people were frankly struggling and didn't like Biden's policies. There's a new housing crisis, or I shouldn't say new housing crisis, but there's a housing crisis I was reading on. There's a retirement crisis that I was reading about. What's going on with the economy? What does Trump and a Trump Vance ticket need to do to help restore it? Lord willing, they get in, EJ.
Well, Carl, I don't think we need to really worry about, honestly, people forgetting what, you know, their financial lives, for example, were like before this weekend, because it's exactly the same today. You know, things got bad under Biden, and they haven't really improved. Now, are they getting worse as quickly as they did before? No. The pace of decline has certainly slowed. The numbers tell us that pretty clearly. But you're still worse off today than you were 3.5 years ago. You know, I don't care if you're looking at something like earnings. You know, yes, you're earning more money, but it can buy you less. So even though your family's average weekly paycheck is up about $150, it actually buys about $50 less. That's not good. You know, look at things like jobs. This administration loves to talk about job growth, except literally all of the net job growth we have had since February 2020, in other words, right before the pandemic, the COVID shutdowns and everything, all of that job growth on net has gone to foreign-born workers. You know, there are actually fewer native-born Americans today that are employed than there were before the pandemic. So, and we're actually not even adding full-time jobs to the economy anymore.
Wait,
over the last
EJ,
year.
EJ, will you say that again?
1 million full-time jobs.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt. Will you say that again? There are fewer. Did you say native American jobs basically available now? Is that what I heard
right,
you say?
So if we look at jobs today, what does the labor market look like today? And then we compare that to before the pandemic. You find that there are actually fewer native-born Americans with jobs right now than there were over 4 years ago. So Americans have actually gone backwards in the Biden economy, and literally all of the net job growth has gone to foreign-born workers. And by the way, the Biden administration's own Bureau of Labor Statistics admits that category includes an unknown number of illegal aliens. And on top of that, if we actually look at what are the jobs that are being created in this economy, they're not good-paying, blue-collar, full-time jobs. We're actually losing full-time jobs. We've lost about 1.6 million of them over the last year, and so we're only adding part-time jobs at this point. I mean, it's like, Carl, it's sad, but it's not an exaggeration to say that what the Biden administration has basically done is turned the labor market into a kind of a temp agency, if you will, for foreign workers.
That is unreal. Now, I knew that obviously we were devastated after the lockdowns here, EJ. And again, I'm speaking with EJ Antoni of the Heritage Foundation. EJ, if people want to find you online on X, where do they go to find you?
Oh, the handle there is @RealEJAntoni. And I post, in addition to all the articles that I write, usually a few a week, I also include all kinds of data analyses. So, you know, when things like the job report get released, you can just follow me and go through the feed there. And that's where I let everybody know about stuff like what we just mentioned, that, yeah, you're earning more, but your paycheck buys you less. Sure, we have more jobs, but it's not Americans that are getting them.
You know, and this is so true. Listen, I have a person that I know that's close to me that has decided that this time around she was going to go ahead and vote Republican, and not necessarily because she likes Donald Trump, but she watched the debate and she wasn't impressed with the debate with Joe Biden's performance, but still decided to linger with the Democrat Party. But she's, as of last night, decided to vote for Trump, apparently, because she's just run into too many people that are struggling in this economy that she knows. And obviously the lockdowns destroying so many small businesses didn't help us out at all.
Carl, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I understand, I don't think it was the right thing to do, but I understand people panicking at the time and the whole 2 weeks to slow the spread back in early 2020. I get it. Again, it wasn't the right move, but I understand the panic and everything that went along with that. But after the first couple of weeks, it was very, very clear, based on the evidence, both that we had here at home and overseas, especially in places like Italy, that the lockdowns weren't going to do any good. And yet a lot of governors, mostly in blue states, kept them in place even well into 2021. Some of that was because they were getting federal money for doing so. Some of it was for political reasons. But whatever the case, you're right. That completely devastated the American economy. But what I think is so unique, Carl, about this race right now in the context of modern American history, and this is not a partisan point, by the way, it's just an observation, is that neither candidate needs to worry about promises. What I mean by that is they both have a presidential record. That's something that we haven't had, again, in modern American history. You have to go back a very long time to find a time when two presidents ran against each other. And so voters can look back and say, how did I do economically under Biden? And they can see things like their paycheck buys them less. And they can ask, how did I do under Trump? And they can see that, well, my paycheck could buy me more.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I'm looking at this headline here. This is on Real Clear Politics here. but eviction surge in the Sun Belt following sharp acceleration in rent. So you have people and affordability has tumbled. Aspiring and current homeowners are stuck. And I completely get this. I mean, it's just, I can't believe where we are. Another thing I think I'd like for you to comment on is there's a retirement crisis. I was reading an article over the weekend, EJ, on USA Today, where more elderly people are having to go and accept jobs just to survive. Their Social Security obviously probably was never enough, and they probably could have done a better job saving and investing. I get it. But it's got to be devastating for elderly people that are living on a fixed income in this economy.
Carl, you're absolutely right. And you know, it is very true that there are plenty of people out there who did not save and invest wisely. And you know what? Frankly, it's their own fault that they don't have enough money now in retirement. You know, they spent their money, again, very unwisely when they were younger, and now they're in a tough spot. But in fairness, there are literally millions of Americans right now, Carl, who were diligent and who did save and thought they were, you know, going by best practices, yeah, and they have gotten absolutely hosed by the government. And here's how. If you thought you needed, let's say, to retire with $1 million for your total nest egg, your house, your investments, everything, you thought that would be enough to live off of. Guess what? The prices faced by retirees, in other words, the basket of goods and the products and services that retirees buy, has actually gone up even faster than all of the things bought by the general public on average.
Wow.
And so you no longer need about $1 million to retire if that was your magic number. Instead, it's about $1.25 million. And so if you were on the verge of retirement, let's say, Carl, or maybe you did just retire, people are all of a sudden realizing, I don't have enough in my nest egg anymore. I actually need to go back to work and somehow scrape together $250,000.
Unbelievable. Listen, EJ Antoni, I'm sorry we have you for such a short period of time tonight, but I thank you for taking the time to come on. Follow him on X at @RealEJAntoni. Thank you, man. God bless you.
Carl, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. Yes, sir. Take care. All right. Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. The number to call in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. Former FBI whistleblower Stephen Friend will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. We'll be talking about the assassination attempt, the failure of the Secret Service, some of the missing holes that were that occurred there. So stay tuned for that. I mean, the more and more that we find out about this, the more video that comes out. This was an absolute disaster for the Secret Service. This woman, Susan Cheadle, has to absolutely go. The Democrats are absolutely panicked, in my opinion, and running scared. Listen, guys, you have to make sure that you show up, because I really believe this. This is just a reality. I think that assassination attempt basically put Trump in the White House, as long as you show up. All right. As long as you show up. All right. So you got to make sure that you show up. But I was just combing through some of the polls. And again, listen, polls don't matter if you don't show up, but they do tell you, they are a snapshot of where we are today. And I'm looking at these battleground states, and some of the numbers where Trump is competitive even is Minnesota. Biden is up by 3, and I think it was New Hampshire. It just flipped on me. Biden was only up by 3. Arizona, Trump up by 5. Nevada, Trump up by 5. Wisconsin, Trump up by 3. That number has increased. And I don't think we're seeing the full impact yet of the debate plus the assassination attempt. As long as people show up, please, 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 please don't get lazy. All right. And don't assume that your vote doesn't count. Your vote counts. Your vote matters. And you need to make sure that you show up, not just for the national elections, but local elections, people that will be on the ballot, not just the House and the Senate, but your, who knows, if you have a city commissioner or committee person, whatever it may be, dog catcher. Listen, you want conservatives. I'm praying now, and I don't know that it'll happen, But I think there's a possibility, and I hesitate to say this. I really, especially on national air. But you could. I got to be careful. I think I want to hold my tongue. But I think I'll put it this way. I think Trump is in a much better position. Democrats did everything they could to take him out, and it has totally backfired. And I think this last thing, this assassination attempt, and don't he was a registered Republican. Listen, there are rumors that he registered just so he could vote against Trump, or so he could vote against Trump, right? But the more important thing is he donated to the left. So he told you where his heart was based on whom this guy donated to. And it doesn't say that he voted for Republicans, all right? So keep that in mind. I doubt that he did. Quite frankly, but the Democrats too, they're absolutely stuck and they have nowhere to go. All they have is the fear factor, and they're not going to give that fear factor up. I wanted to play some more video clips. Listen to Anna Navarro. This is Anna Navarro on The View. This is what they have. Everything is going to be either blaming the right, blaming Trump, blaming guns. Here's Anna Navarro of The View blaming guns once again, not left-wing incendiary rhetoric that led to the attempted assassination of former President Trump. Video clip number one, por favor, Mr. McConnell.
I hope that at some point in this country, we do have a conversation about what is happening, because we can't just react when it is our side. What was this again? It was, you know, a 20-year-old lone wolf, white, whack job with easy access to a gun. And we have to have a conversation about that, because it wasn't a drag queen. It wasn't an immigrant. It wasn't a pissed off liberal woman. This is, and this keeps happening. And we need to react, not as left or right, not as Republicans or Democrats. We need to react as Americans.
Are we going to talk about the trans shooters, too? Anna Navarro, are we going to talk about them? We're going to talk about the Nashville shooting and how the left-wing media tried to keep that from us? Are we going to talk about those people? Are we going to talk about Chicago? We're going to talk about L.A.? Are we going to talk about Camden, New Jersey? Or are we going to talk about any of the blue cities that you guys run that are in absolute shambles? This is insane. It's never their policies. It's never their rhetoric. All you need to do, Anna Navarro, if you want to solve this type of problem, just look in the freaking mirror. That would help out a great deal. It's insane. They have nothing else. Okay, so these are some headlines I won't get to today, but perhaps we'll talk about them at some point in time this week, because I still like bashing on Biden. Trump is going to take a more positive tone to unite Americans. I'm going to bash Biden. But listen to this. Even Democrats are. And I really believe that if there was an opportunity to remove Trump, you know, you had George Clooney with his letter. You had Obama and the Clintons teaming up to try to pressure Biden out of the race. There is no way any Democrat with common sense will come into this momentum that Trump and his campaign and Republicans are experiencing now just to lose. I just don't see that. I just don't see that. So even this was in Breitbart. This was on Friday, by the way. Three of the most relevant and prominent Democrat politicians in Michigan, Governor Gretchen Whitmer, Senator Gary Peters, U.S. Senate candidate Representative Alyssa Slotkin, did not attend President Joe Biden's rally in Detroit, Michigan on Friday. They wanted to stay clear of the guy, before this assassination attempt. Remember, his numbers, and Trump was leading already in a lot of these swing states, although the margins weren't as wide. And now we're seeing those margins starting to increase. Breitbart reports their absences, which the AP reported, come as Biden faces growing calls for members of his own party to step aside as a presumptive nominee and allow someone else to face former President Trump in November in the aftermath of his disastrous debate performance. Governor Whitmer, who is, listen to this, co-chair of Biden's campaign. She will be out of the state. This was on Friday, so she was out of the state. Senator Gary Peters, a steadfast supporter of Biden, and Alisa Slotkin, who is vying for Michigan's open Senate seat, will also be absent from the event. These people don't want to be anywhere near Joe Biden, and that's the problem that he has. But right now, I do believe that he's going to be the guy. They simply can't move on. They simply cannot move on. They can't risk it at this point. I suspect that the calls to have him removed, and remember, I was one of them. At one point in time, I was like, listen, and frankly, they still have a window to do it. This week would be their last week. I don't think they could handle the extra controversy. I don't think they can. I simply do not think they can do it. So more than likely, they're going to have to run Trump v. Biden. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see a debate between Kamala Harris and J.D. Vance. That's going to be, oh man, that's going to be so sweet. We'll be back. All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the Officer Tatum. You can find me on all things social media at The Carl Jackson Show. Subscribe to my podcast, The Carl Jackson Show. I normally record the podcast at night, and I've started going live on Mondays. Obviously, I'm not doing that tonight. But typically, you can find my podcast, The Carl Jackson Show, is where you can go to subscribe. All things social media. Excuse me, at the Carl Jackson Show. Also, Salem has some new T-shirts out. The Salem Consumer Products team worked late into the night and created three new T-shirts to sell in our stores. You can get your brand new Trump T-shirt right now on SalemEventsStore.com. SalemEventsStore.com. So three shirts are available. You can choose from Unity, Peace, MAGA. The second shirt, Fight, Fight, Fight. Obviously, that's what Trump said when he held up his hand after the failed assassination attempt. Thank God. Can you imagine if that is? Could you imagine if that had happened? The absolute chaos we'd be in today. My goodness. Thank you, Jesus. All right. And the third T-shirt, Fear Not. Again, all you have to do is go on to SalemEventsStore.com. That is SalemEvents with an S, store.com. All right, so let's do this. Do we have Stephen Friend up? Okay. All right, so we have Stephen Friend. Stephen Friend, former FBI whistleblower, perfect person to talk to about this particular case. Stephen Friend, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm getting bad feedback. Stephen, are you there?
Hi.
Okay. Oh, hey, there you are. All right, I was getting some bad feet. All right, so Stephen, let's walk through this. I mean, this first off, let's just get your take. Let's get your initial take on what happened on a Saturday, this attempted assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump. Failures, what was done wrong? Was anything done right in your opinion? Give us your take.
Well, I think more a thorough investigation, hopefully done parallel to what the FBI is able to do a good job of that. But on the security failures as it came to allowing this shoot on the rooftop there, and the most recent report ran to project blame onto the local law enforcement and claim that that was actually a it was their responsibility to maintain at that time.
I'm getting
but
Stephen, hold on for just a sec. Are you guys hearing him? He's coming in and out for me. Okay, we're gonna reconnect. We're having a bad connection with Stephen Friend. He'll be back. I want to make sure that we hear everything he has to say. So let me do this real quickly here. This is national radio, but I'm going to be sending the phone number to Zach here so we can get a hold of if I can find him. Oh, here we go. All right. So anyway, Stephen Friend will be back with us in just a second here. I'm sorry, guys. I am literally, as we speak, making sure that we have the right number to send. Okay, there we go. So we'll get Stephen Friend back on. again, former FBI whistleblower. I definitely want to hear what he has to say. I mean, obviously, this is a guy that has been in serious situations. He was actually part of the FBI team that was sent after, frankly, some of the J6ers, or I don't want to call them J6ers. They were actually the people that were a part of the Whitmer kidnapping case that was an absolute and total fraud. Stephen Friend was courageous enough to walk away from his career, lucrative career, secure job, and speak the truth, become a whistleblower. He has his own podcast now. We'll let you tell him about that. We just had a bad connection, so we'll get him back up or get him on as soon as until we do. Let me go to this. This is from the New York Post. Secret Service Director Kim Cheadle landed a job after pushed by Jill Biden's office, according to sources. So embattled Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle, who is facing congressional outcry and calls to resign over security lapses leading to former President Trump's near assassination on Saturday. She landed her job thanks to old Jill Biden, a close relationship that she had with Jill Biden. This according to the Post. So no experience, just get in nice with Jill Biden. Cheadle, 53, is the second woman to lead the Presidential Protection Agency and secured the non-Senate confirmed role in August of 2022 after a three-year stint as senior director of PepsiCo. All right. Before that, she served 27 years in the Secret Service, beginning in the Clinton administration. She's obviously highly incompetent. We'll get back to this or back to Stephen Friend. Stay tuned. So hold on tight with all your might, because I'll be rocking like this for the rest of the night. All right. Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I believe we have Stephen Friend back. So, Steve, are you there? All right. So anyway, this is Carl Jackson sitting in for the Officer Tatum. All right. I want to get on to this. As we wait for Stephen Friend, hopefully we'll get that connection back. We were having some problems with that. I really wanted to speak to him about what transpired in. Oh, here we go. There you are. Steve, can you hear me? All right. So we'll get that. I don't know why we're having such. Okay. I can't hear him now. All right. So anyway, I'll just go forward with this and then hopefully we can get this worked out. All right. So anyway, I was just telling you that this Secret Service lady, the director, Kim Cheadle, apparently she served in the Secret Service for 27 years before she served at PepsiCo for the senior director of PepsiCo for 3 years. But apparently she wasn't great at her job, except that Jill Biden liked her. And then you have this. There's a DEI push in the Secret Service that led to a lot of these unqualified agents, and one of whom threw tampons at her boss in an unhinged rage. So apparently there was a Secret Service agent, a female, that in front of Vice President Kamala Harris went into a tizzy fit, if you will. We're just hiring seemingly a lot of unqualified people for the Secret Service. And this isn't me saying this. I'm hearing this from people that have been in the Secret Service. Dan Bongino came out over the weekend on Fox, did an interview with him. And he said the Secret Service failure here is catastrophic. There's more news coming out that the gunman was sitting on the rooftop even longer than we had all known. Former Secret Service agent Dan Bongino, here's what he had to say. He commented on the failure of the Secret Service, and he said, and I'm quoting him, "The bunting around the front of the stage is probably armor. Donald Trump knew to duck. I mean, most people would. He saved his own life." This is Dan Bongino, former Secret Service agent. That's just a fact. The evacuation did not go right. Now, he was a Secret Service agent under George W. Bush, but also for a period of time under former President Barack Obama. He says, "I mean, the rule with the Secret Service is cover the protectee and evacuate. The other rule is maximum to protectee, minimum to the problem. And the reason why it's maximum to the protectee, because you don't know if there's a threat coming from elsewhere." All right. He said it could be a distraction. There could be another person in the crowd. He said that's what happened to Malcolm X, right? There could be another person in the crowd. So if you don't jump on the protectee, you could be looking at multiple shooters. So at least that part, he said the guy's there, stepped up there. But the failure here is absolutely catastrophic. And I got to tell you, the Secret Service should be very careful, he says. I can tell you and absolutely confirm. Listen to this. From the horse's mouth. From multiple people, not just one. And I saw Congressman Waltz text this out before on X. There have been repeated requests to increase the security, the footprint around not just the residences of Donald Trump, but the body itself. And they have been rebuffed. He said, like I said, I can tell you actual quotes. The Secret Service directors completely failed and candidly should resign today. Kim Tito has failed Donald Trump and honestly failed Joe Biden, too. He's the president right now. Where's the DHS secretary? You heard Dr. Sebastian Gorka in the second hour talk about that as well, because obviously the Secret Service agencies falls under the umbrella of the Department of Homeland Security now. He says, I mean, this is you're blaming it on manpower. So just to be clear, we're a $4 trillion United States government, and we can't fork over enough money to keep people, to keep our people alive. This is Dan Bongino I'm quoting from. And then you're sending out tweets like, oh, this is the best technology we have. He says, really? To let a sniper 150 yards away from the potential next president shoot a piece of his ear off? That's your victory lap? Give me a break. And I totally agree. I mean, I'm sitting here. Listen, guys, I'm not trained in SWAT. I'm not trained in, you know, the work of the Secret Service or military. But I know enough to know if you've got a former president or important official setting up on the stage that you don't want to be killed or assassinated, one of the first things you do is make sure there's safety around the stage area, right? And you make sure you look up. There's no areas that are uncovered. You can use a helicopter. You can use drone. You can put a sniper on each on each roof, or, you know, whatever it may be. This absolutely made no sense whatsoever. There is news now that the Secret Service is going to finally give RFK Jr. protection as well. But I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about this column with Kim Cheeto, or about Kim Cheeto. And that she was picked by Jill Biden. There's got to be a lot of questions there, don't there? There's got to be a lot of questions there. If Dan Bongino can say that there were requests made to protect not just Trump at his property, but his person, his actual body, and those were rebuffed, this lady was liked by Jill Biden. I have some more questions. I got to be honest with you guys, and I have been. It's not like I'm not. These people in the White House are absolute gangsters. And I believe that all along. And I just don't know. But I do have questions. This doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever that a shooter, that a 20-year-old kid can grab a ladder, climb to the top of this rooftop, and then just let off some rounds on the former president. And we're going to have Steve Friend. He's going to come back tomorrow. We were just having too many technical problems for whatever reason. So he'll be back on with us tomorrow. So make sure you stay. But I want to hear from him. And he's saying, basically, he said, maybe you heard some of it. A lot of people are pointing the finger at the cops, and the finger needs to be pointed at the Secret Service, despite that story we heard of the cop that jumped down the ladder. We'll be back. Carl Jackson in for the Officer Tatum. Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the Officer Tatum. You know, we have this clip of Dan Bongino. Why don't we just roll this clip? This is video clip number 4. This is from Dan Bongino. Instead of me reading it, why don't we hear what he has to say about the Secret Service and their catastrophic failure this past Saturday. Video clip number four, por favor, Mr. McConnell.
I didn't see it. Tell me about when they rush him over to the van, I guess, the vehicle. It seemed like some of the Secret Service agents, I just don't know if they had the stature that I would expect to see and the gravitas that I would expect to see protecting the former president.
Well, the rule is maximum to the protectee, minimum to the problem, right? Because you don't know how many problems there are. So if you try to rush to one problem, like the Malcolm X shooting, and there's another problem over there, you're going to wind up getting dead quick. So they did the right thing by rushing to the protectee. On the evac out, yeah, you do see a couple of agents. One couldn't reholster the weapon and things like this. So, yeah, there were some definitely.
And the other one was like 5'4".
Yeah, I mean, you're going to find out in the coming weeks that the physical fitness standards for men and women are different. That's weird because the protectee's weight and height doesn't change for a man or a woman.
Does Cheadle get fired anytime soon?
She needs to go immediately. She has disgraced the Secret Service multiple times. She needs to go. She needs to be fired ASAP, but Mayorkas doesn't have the cojones to do it.
Biden should do it. Leapfrog Mayorkas and terminate
zero,
her.
Zero chance.
She's got to go. Well, he never fired anybody over anything.
He doesn't even know who the
Secret
Service director is. There's zero chance. Like, he fires her. No way.
It's sad, but this is where we are. Joe Biden doesn't even know who the Secret Service lady is. There's no doubt about it. If you asked him, I guarantee you, if he didn't have a you know, paper in front of him, he would absolutely have not a clue. And you heard Jill Biden liked her. So is Jill Biden, is Jill Biden the one staffing people like Kim Cheadle? I mean, this is absolutely insane. The good news is I do believe, as my buddy Christopher Hart has been saying for quite some time, they're absolutely stuck with Biden. I don't see them moving away from him at all at this point in time. So I think it's incumbent upon former President Trump. Obviously, he had a life and death experience. Hopefully, God is working with his heart. Obviously, he's changing his message. You can go after those independents. You can go after moderates or whatever, the people that are in the middle. But I think you go after Democrat defectors. I think they're now, I think many people are starting to see who's really dividing this country. And I guarantee you, the left isn't going to stop the rhetoric or curtail it. They can't. They're going to run Biden's campaign because they're going to try their best to make sure they don't see 2010 type losses. I'm talking about when Obama lost everything. You know what I mean? Everything from dog catcher. That's what I think they're trying to avoid. And as long as you show up, bring a friend, donate, that just might happen. I'll be back tomorrow. Carl Jackson in for the Officer Tatum.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.